Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Peches. We're going to begin where the two dots, five lines from the top, on Peches Amud Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Chosu Eden Bebrosh Adaf Uchule. We had a number of scenarios in the Mishnah from yesterday where the witness is signed in different places. So here we're going to be discussing the following case where the witness is signed on the top of a column, or they signed on the side of the column, or they signed on the back of the document. And we said in the Mishnah that all of those scenarios are no good. It's not a valid get. More questions, it says, really? It's not a valid get if they sign on the side of the text of the document? Ini, but Rav Chosim and Atzad, is that really true? Rav would sign documents on the side, and they would be good. So how can you tell us here if the witness is signed to the side of the column that that's no good? So Gemara says, no. Hossam, in that situation where Rav signed and you're telling me that it's good, Vishigago Klape Ksav. That's when the roof of his signature was in alignment with the Ksav. So maybe some of his signature was to the side, but the roof, the top part, was oriented in the proper orientation of the text, and therefore that's why it was good. Mara still questions this and says, really? Elohad Diktani, but then we had later in the Mishnah in yesterday's share where it said, Hikif Rosho Shozeh, Bitzad Rosho Shozeh. You had the two Gittin that were written facing each other. In other words, one started from the middle of the daf and went down, one started from the middle of the daf and went up. So they're aligned in the same orientation, but they're facing each other in the wrong direction, meaning that one, the writing is going towards the top of the page, and one, the writing is going towards the bottom of the page. And we said, if you have the signatories of the witnesses in the middle of the page, neither get is good because it's not oriented properly. Shtem sulam. But according to what we just said, but let's say himinayu klapik sav. Here you can see if it is oriented towards the direction of one of the klapim. So even though it's not in the right place, it's so to say above it. But if it's in the right orientation, liskasher, it should be good based upon what we just said with Rob that you look at the signature as long as the signature is oriented properly. So it says no. It's not that they're all running parallel, hosam deramile ki'ivra. It's like the bar on a door, and therefore it's running perpendicular to it. If you're having trouble understanding this, so you can see the diagrams next to footnote number 10 and 11 and 12. So you see the diagrams of the first case, what we were talking about, where we thought it might be good. So even though the text is not oriented in the same exact direction as the text of the get above it or below it, so it is still in the same line. So therefore, you might have thought that it's good. So it tells us, no, it's in the orientation that we see on the right side of the figures in the diagrams, and that is that the text is perpendicular to the signatures. It's not in the same orientation. It's perpendicular, and therefore, that's why it's no good. Hasam derami like ivra, like the bar on a door, which is perpendicular, so too, here it is perpendicular. More questions that still and says, Ihachi, if that's true, so then Seifa, keep on reading in the Mishnah, it says there, Diktane, Rosho Shoze, Bitsat Sofo Shoze, if you have one on top of the other, the Edim Emsa, the Edim in the middle, so Esho Edim, Nikrim Bisofo Kasha, the Edim after the top one, they're in the same orientation, in the same direction, so then that should be good. But if you're telling me, Vid the Rami Kivri, but if it's perpendicular, so Lo Bahai, Bahade Hai Mikre, Lo Bahai Hadi Mikre, then it wouldn't be good. So what's going on here? So Gemara says, you're right, don't understand Rav when we said before that Rav would sign it and his head of his signature was in the same orientation. That's why it's good. So the answer is no, that's totally incorrect. Ella, when Rav signed before that we said it was good, Rav was signing Harav Chosim Min Hatzad, so he said that's Rav wasn't signing on legal documents. Rav Bidiski have a chosim. These were on the court decisions that his court had made, and he wasn't signing them to say that I'm testifying that this is my signature over here on the bottom. He was just basically authenticating them. They're coming from his court, and therefore it didn't have to be his signature on the bottom. His signature could even be on the side. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Getcha Kosu Ivris V'chule, and then the Mishnah included, Ksav Sof Veid Kosher. So we're focusing now on the latter part of that statement, which is when you only had one signator, you only had one witness signing, but you had the Ksav of the Sofer, that it was written by a different person, the Sofer. So our Mishnah, the Girsa that we had, was Ksav Sof Veid is a Kosher again, because you really have two. You have the one witness who signed, and then you have the text that the Sofer wrote. He's like a witness, even though he didn't sign it. So that's the Girsa that we have. But as I pointed out when we did the Mishnah, now we see it again, Amar of Yirmiyah, and we had this previously in interesting Gemaras. Amar Yemiya Chasam Sofer Shanino. No, this isn't good if you have just the text, but you need to have the signature of the Sofer with the A, and then it's kosher. And on this, Amar Chista, whose opinion this is going in accord with, Homani, this is Rav Yossi, who says that Mili Lo Mimsrin. This is a machlokes we had early in the Masechta, a parak or two ago, where we said that we have a machlokes in Rav Yossi and the Chachamim as to whether you can transfer over authorization to sign a get, to write a get with just words. And Rav Yossi's opinion was Mili Lo Mimsrin. So therefore, there is no concern over here if the sofer actually signed this as one of the witnesses, so then it's kosher, because there's no way that we have to be concerned that maybe he wasn't authorized to sign it, and therefore it's not a kosher get, and they'll divorce the woman with this get, and it'll turn out that she's really a married woman, it'll be a tremendous takala. So the answer is no, we're not concerned about that over here, because we hold like Rav Yossi, that Mili Lo Mimsrin, and therefore there's no way the sofer would think that he'd be allowed to go and sign this unless he specifically was told to go and sign this. Nobody could tell him, go and write this get for me, and then he'll mistakenly think that he's also supposed to be a witness. No, the only person who's allowed to write down that they're a witness is somebody who was specifically assigned to be a witness, and therefore there, in this situation, it's Chasam Sofer, and it goes in accord with the opinion of Rav Yossi. Where it says, Maisa Shahaya, Hai Ksubas Chassanim. The once was a Ksuba that a Chassan gave to his wife, and now it was to be collected, and they wanted to go and authenticate it, authorize this Ksuba that came with only one signature on it. The Asya Lekanei, the Rabbi Yavo, it came in front of Rabbi Yavo, the Havu Yodei Leila Tovsa, they knew that a sofer had written it, they knew which sofer it was, they understood and recognized his handwriting, and there were two witnesses signed on it, but they didn't know the second witness. The Lechassimus Yoda, the Chatzada, they only were able to authenticate one witness. So Rabbi Avo wanted to say, since we know over here the sofer, and since we know one of the witnesses, we could say that this is a valid ksuba based upon the two witnesses that we have, the sofer who didn't sign it, and the one witness that we can authenticate. So Rav Yirmiyah tells him, no, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, chasam sofer sheninu. In our Mishnah, the word isn't kisav sofer, but it's chasam sofer. It's only if he signs it that it's good. And here, this sofer didn't sign it. We have another witness that signed it. We don't know who that other witness is. We can't authenticate it. So we only have one witness, and therefore this is not a valid ksuba to go collect on. Then we quote the Mishnah said, if you use either the nicknames or a last name, that's also acceptable. That's not called being Mishana in the shame of the man or of the shame of the woman. Kosav Chanichoso v'Chanichoso, kosher. Those are valid ways to go and sign. Now, the Brisa says as follows, Tanu Rabban, Chanichas Avos Begitin Ad Yudoros. This last name that they're using is valid to be used up to 10 generations after the name was used. Now, they didn't have a last name like we have. I gave the example when we did the Mishnah Cohen, but they didn't really have the name Cohen or Smith or something like that, but they would have the progenitor's name. So let's say they had Avraham. So the family would be known as the family of Avraham. So for 10 generations, they still could be known as the family of Avraham. However, beyond 10 generations, they apparently, those were the circumstances, they no longer consider that name to be significant, and therefore up to 10 generations, we'll see this based upon Psukim, so up to 10 generations, the name is still allowed to be used, and it would be a valid get, but beyond 10 generations, it no longer would be able to be used. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, not 10 generations, Omer Gimel Doros Kosher, only for 3 generations is it good, but beyond that, Mikan Ve'elach Pasul, beyond 3 generations, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, it would not be a valid get. Now, Kiman Oz Lahodi Amar Rabbi Chanina, in the court is whose opinion, either the Tanakhama or Rabbi Shimon Elazar, does the opinion of Rabbi Chanina go? It's obvious it's Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Kosel Chanichas Avos Begitin Ad Gimel Doros. He said it's only good for Gittin for 3 generations. So obviously, Kiman, Ki Rabbi Shimon Elazar. This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Now, where did he get this from? Amar Rav Huna, my quotes based upon a pasuk that we have from, of course, the beginning of Devarim. Ki Solid Banim Uvnei Banin Vino Shantem. So it tells us that when you will give birth to children, banim, that's one generation, uvnei banim, that's the second generation after the person, so for 3 generations. So that's the source for the idea of 3 generations. Now we have an aside, which is so important. I'm dictating this on Tu B'Av, and we'll actually now have a Gemara that deals with Tu B'Av. Amar Rav ben Levi, lo harva Eretz Yisrael, at shavu ba zayin batei dinim avodah zarah. That Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't destroy Eretz Yisrael until there were 7 Malchus, we're dealing here with Malchus Yisrael, and Rashi points out that these were all Malchus of Yisrael that lasted at least for more than 1 year and weren't so closely related, like Omri with his son Achav, so they're listed sometimes separately, sometimes they're listed together. So there's 7 reigns in Malchus Yisrael. which unfortunately all worship the Avodah Zarah. All the Malchus Yisrael worship the Avodah Zarah. Even many of the Malchus Yehuda worship the Avodah Zarah, but they're lumped in here during the time period of the Malchus Yisrael. But also many of the Malchus of Yehuda were good. There were seven great kings of Malchus Yehuda, so that's why they're not listed here. So in any event, during the seven royal reigns of Malchus Yisrael, so they all worshiped the Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after those seven, that's enough, and then he destroyed Malchus Yisrael. What were those seven kings? Leluhain, so Yeravim ben Nevat was the first one, Ubasha ben Achiah, Acha ben Omri, Yehu ben Nimshi, and Pechah ben Romayo, now Menachem ben Gadi. They were actually switched around. The Marsha says the chronological order is switched around, but we'll leave the gear so that we have it, the Gemara. And finally, Hoshea ben Elah. So Hoshea ben Elah was the last king of Malchus Yisrael, and during his time, Sancheriv came, Shalmaneser came, and they wiped out Malchus Yisrael and exiled those 10 tribes. And we know that this is true, Shenema, because it says in Yirmiyahu that Umlala Yoledes Hashiva Novcha Nafsha. And basically, this alludes over here to these seven reigns of terrible idolatry in Malchus Yisrael, and this the Shiva that they're referring to over here, and they caused everything to Nebuch go and be exiled and embarrassed, and Nebuch, that the 10 tribes are lost, and we don't know where they are at this point. Yirmiyahu did bring some of them back, but basically those 10 tribes are lost to a certain extent. Now, Omer Rami, Rami says, Maikra, where do we have see this from Chumash? This was from Navi. So he tells us again, Ki solid banim uvnei banim. So we see over here seven generations. So Tosos, the bottom Tosos tells us that Ki solid is chador, is one generation. Banim, that's another two generations, treidor. Ubnei is another two generations, treidor. And banim is another two generations, treidor. Hare Zayin, that's seven. That's Tosos' understanding. And the Masoras Hashas on the side, he brings down that Bonim is trained, Ubnei Bonim is trained, so it's two and two. V'no Shantem, V'chastem, V'asisem, so that's another three, and therefore it's a total of seven. Okay, in any event, that's an allusion to the seven generations. Now, who was Hoshea ben Elah? So, Amrulei Rav Kahana, V'rvasi L'Rav, K'siv Bei Hoshea ben Elah, V'yasara B'nei Hashem, Rak Lo K'malcha Yisrael, that he was terrible like the other Malchei Yisrael, but not as bad. Now, why was he not as bad? Because during his time, the Malchei Yisrael was destroyed, so how could he not be as bad? That's when Shalmaneser, Sancheriv, came and went and destroyed Malchei Yisrael. So how can you tell me that Hoshea ben Elah wasn't so bad? He obviously was. So Gemara says, no. One thing he did different, and that's one of the reasons why Tu B'Av was a great holiday, because on Tu B'Av, Hoshea ben Elah stopped the roadblocks from preventing the people from Malchus Yisrael to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Yeravim ben Nevat had set them up, and they were in existence during the entire time of Malchus Yisrael, that they didn't allow the people from Malchus Yisrael to come and leave Malchus Yisrael to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Because if they went to the Beis HaMikdash, they would realize that Malchus Yehuda was the real king. The Yeravim ben Nevat wouldn't be able to stand, wouldn't be able to sit in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azari. He'd have to stand. And the Rehovim, the Melech of Yehuda, would sit, and everybody would say, who's the real king, who's not the real king? So Yeravim ben Nevat prevented them from going, and that persisted throughout the time of Malchus Yisrael, and therefore Hoshea ben Elah stopped these roadblocks, and that was to his credit, and that's why it's called Rak Lo K'malcha Yisrael. Now, why then was it destroyed if he did this thing? Osam Pardisios Shoshiv Yeravim Al Adrachim Kadesh Lo Yali Yisrael Regel. So Bo Hoshea Bitlan, Hoshea came and stop them. So the roadblocks no longer existed. So why were they destroyed? Alpha P came lo all Yisrael regel. So the reason why the Malchus Yisrael was destroyed, because now there were no excuses anymore. They didn't have the roadblocks, and therefore they could have gone up to the Beis HaMikdash, and they didn't. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Osen Shanim Shlo all Yisrael regel. Oh, now we see the reason why they didn't come wasn't because of the roadblocks. Even when there are no roadblocks, they don't come. So therefore, that's it. They're going into Galus. Others say it was Ruchista who said in the name of Yirmiyah, or Ruchista said in the name of Mar Ukva. Darash Meremar, and they explained that Meremar said as follows. My Dechsid, what's the pasuk to support this? It says, Vayishkod Hashem al hara'ah, Vayideh aleinu, ki tzadik Hashem elokeinu. Because Hashem is a tzadik, that's why the bad thing happened. So more says that doesn't make any sense. Bishum the tzadik Hashem lokeinu, Vayishkod Hashem al hara'ah, Vayideh aleinu, because Hashem is a tzadik, he brought terrible things upon us? So what does it mean? Ella. Tzedak os HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a great stock in Klai Yisrael. Shehigla golus tzidkiyo v'adayim golus Yechonya kayemes. That when Yechonya was exiled 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so the best of the best was sent. The Sanhedrin, the Chayrish, and the Maskir, as we'll explain in a moment. And therefore, when ultimately Malchus Yehuda was sent into exile with the Nebuchadnezzar destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and the golus of Babel started, they already had all the infrastructure in place. All the yeshivas were there, the shuls were there, the kashrus was there, Taras HaMishpach was there, because the Sanhedrin had set everything up, and that was the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. In exiling us, he had set everything up beforehand, 11 years beforehand. So therefore, there were 1,000 of these Choresh and Masker. Who were the Choresh and Masker? They were the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. They were called Choresh because Shebishor Sheposchin, whenever they opened their mouths, so that's what called Kecheresh. Nobody else could argue with them. They were so great in Torah, so therefore, they were called the ones that made everybody else silent. And Masker, what does that mean? Kiven Shesogrin Shuv Ein Poschim. Once they ended a discussion, that's it. That was the final psak. Nobody else could argue with that psak. And how many of such great people were there? Bekama Elef. So therefore, Galus Bavel was a great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the great leaders of the Jewish people, the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people, ahead during the 11 years beforehand, so they set up all the infrastructure. Alternatively, Ulamar, Shehikdim Shtei Shonim V'Noshantim. The gematria of V'Noshantim is 852. And that means that Kaiso was supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael for 852 years, 410 years in the first Beis HaMikdash, 420 years in the second Beis HaMikdash, and then there's supposed to be two more years. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Golos come 2 years earlier, and this was actually a chesed for Klai Yisrael, because if we'd stayed there the full 852 years, so then we would have been totally destroyed. So by letting us go out early, so by exiling us early, so therefore that was actually a chesed. Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov, Shmami, no, we see from here that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the term Mehera, Mehera Demar Yalma, in the Pasuk, Ki Ovei Tovedun, Maher, so Maher, we see, means Tamne Meya V'Chamishin V'Tartihu, it means 852 years. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concept of what is rapid, quick, is 852 years. So as we understand time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a totally different scale than by us. A day in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years of mankind, as we say elsewhere. So the concept of Mehera is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's davening. That's why we say it should be B'Sheikh Hashem B'Mehera. It should be in our time counting what we consider Mehera, and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's definition of Mehera. That's why we say B'Mehera B'Yomeinu, according to our counting system, and not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers time. We begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us get me'usa. Here we introduce a concept that we've had a couple of times, and that is a get that is forced by Beis Din upon the husband. A recalcitrant husband who doesn't wish to give a get, so Beis Din can use certain measures, such as actually physically forcing him by pressuring him, by suggesting to him that he's going to get hurt if he doesn't give the get. Now, Beis Din can only do this under very, very specific situations, and this is not something that is practically able to be done today, but Beis Din did have, at times, the power to do so. Now, they're only allowed to do this, again, in a situation that is halachically acceptable. When Beis Din forces this type of a get, it's called the get me'usa. Now, how does this work? A get has to be given voluntarily by the husband. So the Rambam and others give a famous idea that the person is doing what he wishes to do. Beis Din sometimes just has to force him to do what's right. Basically, the person now says, rotza ani, he is changing what he naturally wanted to do, and he's realizing that what he's now doing is the correct thing, and that's why a get me'usa under these rare circumstances does work. In any event, this get me'usa, if it's done by a Beis Din b'Yisrael, if a Beis Din that is Jewish Beis Din does this, then it's kosher. The get is a valid get, and the woman is considered divorced. However, if a Gaisha, secular court, were to do this, and they were to force a year to go and give a get to a woman, even if this is correct, even if the halacha would require it, nevertheless, a secular court doesn't have the right to go and force a yid to go and give a get. And the Gemara will express the concerns that we have that this way, if the secular courts are able to do this, then women are going to go run to the secular courts or run to people that aren't following halacha and force their husbands to give them a get, when, of course, the halacha doesn't allow such a get to be valid. In any event, that's when the Ovdei Kochavim, the secular court, does this. It's possible. However, Goyim can act as messengers for the Jewish court, who are acting as messengers of the Beis Din. So then Chovdin Osovi Omelo, they have the power to go and beat this guy up and go and tell him, Asei Mashi Yisrael Omelucha, do what the Jewish court is telling you to do. And in that situation, the word in parentheses is kosher. So the Marshal is deleting the word kosher, but he's not deleting the concept that this would be a valid get, because the Beis Din is really authorizing, so to say, the secular court to go and do this, and therefore the secular court is following what the Beis Din said to do. Okay, now, Rav Nachman, Shmuel. The Gemara starts off and tells us that Rav Nachman says over the name of Shmuel, get tamu'usa b'Yisrael. If a get was forced upon the husband by a Jewish court that was following the appropriate things that the Jewish court is allowed to do, if it was done kiddin, if it was done properly, so then the Beis Din has the right under certain circumstances to go and force the man to give the get to his wife, and therefore, kosher, this would be a valid get, the woman would be considered divorced, she's allowed to l'chatchila go and marry a new husband. However, if this Jewish Beis Din did it, shelo kiddin, they didn't have the right to go and do this, it's not a valid forced get, and they force this man to give the get to the woman, so puzzle, that's not a valid get. The woman's still considered a married woman, and posel, but it does have what we call the reyach of a get, which we mentioned previously, and therefore, as Rashi points out, if she was married to a Kohen, he would no longer be allowed to be married to her, and if she, her husband dies, and in fact, the woman is now an almana, but since there was this get that was given to her, albeit not a good get, so she does have the status of a grusha, and she wouldn't be allowed to go and marry a kohen. And that's what it means to posel. However, if a geisha court were to do this, if the secular courts did this, so if they did it kiddin, even though they did it with the halacha allowing them to do it, they had been a Jewish court, but since they weren't authorized by a Jewish court, and since they are a secular court, so even though they did it but then, nevertheless, puzzle, the get is not a valid get, and the woman is not allowed to go get married based upon that get. However, it does have the reyach of a get as well, uposel, and therefore, the woman would not be allowed to go and marry a kohen if her husband died, so then she wouldn't be an almana, she would still have the status of a reyach of a get here and be a grusha in regards to a kohen. However, if the secular court acted shalokidin, in other words, if this had been brought forward in a Jewish court, they would not have allowed a get musa, and nevertheless, the secular court did a get musa. So in this situation, it is not a valid get, of course, but it doesn't even have what we call reyach of a get. Afilu reyach haget einbo, because they had absolutely no right to do this, and therefore the secular court's action is zero, and therefore this woman still would be allowed to marry a kohen. If her husband Nebuch passed away, so then she would not be considered a grusha, she would be considered almona. There is no reyach haget in this situation. Now the Gemara questions what Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel just said. Monoshach. The Gemara says doesn't seem to make sense. There seems to be a problem over here. If you're going to tell me e ovdei kochavim, if the secular courts bnei asuyanin, who they do have the power to go and force a man, a Jewish man, to give a get to his wife, so then is kashure nami lehiskashus, and why is there get no good in that situation? If they have the power to force the Jewish man to give a get, so then the get should be a valid get. And if you're telling me they don't have the power to force a Jewish man to give a get, they don't have the power to do so, so then mifsalo lifso, so then why should they make this have a reyach of a get, and this woman would not be allowed to stay married to her husband, the Kohen, and would not be allowed to go and marry a Kohen if her husband were to die, and she would be an almana. No, she would be considered a grusha. It seems to be mutually contradictory. So Amr of Misharshi, Misharshi tells us, no, min ha-Torah, Dvar Torah, under the Raisa level, Misharshi says, get me'uso be'ovdei kochavim kosher. Technically, if the secular courts force a man to give a get, and the man listens, and he gives the get, midar Raisa, that woman would be divorced. However, the rabbi said, we don't want that to occur. And this is what I mentioned before when we did the Mishnah. Umatam Amrposel. The rabbis came along and said, no, this get is not a valid get. We're going to apostle this get because we don't want the Jewish women running to the secular court every time they got upset with their husband and they want to get a divorce. They're going to go to a guy, they're going to go to the Goyish courts and say, I want to leave my husband. So go and beat him up. And they'll force the husband to give her a get. And that, of course, is not what Chazal want. And therefore, a woman might think that this is a way that she can go and cause a divorce when she's not entitled to a divorce and when her husband doesn't want to give her a divorce, so she'll go run to the Goyish courts and go get them to force her to get a divorce. So therefore, the rabbi said, no, if they do that, it's not a valid divorce and it's going to still have the reach of a get. Now, more questions is further and says, e hachi, if this is true, so then shelo kiddin, why did Shmuel say if the secular courts acted in a way that wasn't kiddin, so afilu reach haget einbo, then why in that situation doesn't it have no reach of a get? We should be concerned, shouldn't we, that it should have a reach of a get, because if we allow this not to have a reach of a get, then even if they're acting in a way that would be permissible in a Jewish court, but since they weren't authorized by a Jewish court, so then it shouldn't have the reich of a get also. If it's possible, so it's not worth anything, so why does that have a reich of a get? Why don't we make it the Nehave Shalo Kidin Ki Yisrael Hamafs Umafsil Nami Livsol? But we should say in that situation that it should be as if the Jewish court did it Lo Kidin, which would be a possible get, but it would also nevertheless not allow the woman to go and marry a Kohen. So Gemara says, no. That which Rav Masharishi said is a mistake. Elo, hod the Rav Masharishi bedusahi. It's a mistake. It's an error. The reasoning is, v'taymamai, because kiddin, if the Goyish court, the secular court, forced them, based upon Torah law, to go give the get, so in that situation, b'chidin the Yisrael, michlof, because since if a Jewish court authorized it, it would be a valid get, so one might think mistakenly that the Goyish court authorized it, it should be a valid get. Therefore, they have to say, no, it's not a valid get, and in addition, it has the reyach of a get. However, shalo kiddin, if the Goyish court did it shalo kiddin, nobody's going to make the mistake and say, well, if in this situation, if a Goyish court had done it correctly, b'chadin Yisrael, so then it is a possible get, but it has the reach of a get, so maybe that we should think here, even if they did a shalom kiddin, it should have the reach of a get, so nobody's going to make that concern or that mistake to think that we should compare when the Goyish court does it shalom kiddin, it should be the same din as if the Goyish court did it with kiddin of a Jewish court. And therefore, that is not a concern. Okay. Amar continues and tells us, Abaya Ashkel Rav Yosef. Abaya found Rav Yosef, the Yosef that he was sitting, because Maase Agita, he was forcing a man to go and give a get to his wife. Abaya saw that Rav Yosef was doing this, so he asked him, Omalei, he said, how can you do this? Vo Anan had Yotos Anan. We are not considered having smicha. In Babel, they didn't have smicha. Only in Eretz Yisrael, they had smicha. And therefore, we are considered like a basin of hedyotos. We're not considered a basin that is musmuch, even though they were great tamidei chachamim, but they didn't have smicha, and therefore they were restricted in doing certain things that a basin with smicha is allowed to do. So Abaye tells Rabbi Yosef, we are considered a basin of hedyotos, of simple people, of non-musmuchim. And therefore, the Braisa teaches us with Tanya, Hay Rabbi Tafrin, Mary Rabbi Tafrin would say, Kol makum shata motzei agurios shel ovdei kochavim. Wherever you find a bunch of ovdei kochavim gathering, and they're acting in a secular court as a judicial group, so afa pi shedinehim kedine Yisrael, even though their judgment is following Torah law, and they actually come to the right conclusion based upon what the halacha is, nevertheless, you're not allowed to go to such a court, even though you know that their values are correct and that they're actually going to paskin correctly based upon Jewish law, you're still not allowed to go to the Goyish court, to the secular court. Because the pasuk says, a very famous parsha, the Elam Mishpotim, Asher Tosim of Nehem, the very beginning of Parshas Mishpotim, tells us that it's forbidden for a person to go to a secular court. And it tells us, Mishpotim Asher Tosim Lifnehem, Lifnehem means that it's only allowed to be brought in front of a Beis Din, Jewish judges, below lifnei of the kochavim, and not in front of a goyish secular court. And furthermore, dover achir, another thing we learn from the pasuk is lifneim. It says that you have to bring it in front of a Jewish court, so it has to be musmochen below lifnei hedyotos, and not in front of a court, even though they're a Jewish based, then they're not considered mumchen, they're not considered smuchen. And therefore, by definition, they're considered hedyotos. So therefore, Abaye tells Rav Yosef, how are you allowed to go and force this Jewish person to go give a get to his wife? We are hedyotos, and only musmochim can do this. So how does Rav Yosef answer Abaye? So he tells him, Amalei, Anan, we are acting, we're functioning, shlichusayhu ko avdinon. We are acting as the shluchim of the court in Eretz Yisrael, which does have smicha. So we're not functioning over here on our own in a vacuum. We're functioning as the messengers, as the shlichim of the court in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why Rav Yosef said he was going to force this person to go and give a get to his wife, because he was functioning as a shaliach, so to say, of the Beis Din that was smuchen from Eretz Yisrael. More questions. It says, really? Ihachi? So then, how come we only say that you're allowed to do that in the case of a get? Why don't we say gizelos v'chavolos nami? Then we should also be able to adjudicate in Bavel, where they are in smuchen, cases of gizela or chavala, which we don't allow the Beis Din in Bavel to go and give the appropriate penalties that a Beis Din of Musmachim would be allowed to do. And the Warren Sanhedrin clearly says that they can't. So if you're telling us that you're shluchim, if you're telling us that you're a shaliach, that the Beis Din in Bavel are shluchim of Eretz Yisrael, then why can't they judge gezeilos v'chavalos? So Rav Yosef would answer back, Kiyadino Shlichusayu. When did I say that we're acting as their messengers? That's Bemilsu Deshchicha. That's for common stuff, such as Nebuch, halachos of a man and a wife, halachos of Gittin. So in that situation where they're common, so therefore we're acting as their Shlichim. However, Bemilsu Deshchicha, such as Gezelos and Chabalos, which Baruch Hashem are not regular, so law of Dino Shlichusayu, then we can't say that we're functioning as Shlichim then because we're not really functioning as shlichim with them because it doesn't occur on a regular basis. So things that occur regularly, and we want to make sure that the shalom bayis between husband and wife, and we want to make sure that both men and women know that there will be a recourse in case chas v'shalom there's a problem, that they'll be able to go to a base, and the base will be able to handle everything. So therefore, that is considered something that we're shluchim from the base to the Eretz Yisrael. But in regards to gzeilus and chabalos, we're not considered shluchim of them because these things aren't that common, and therefore it is not something that they're empowering us to go and do for them. Okay. Let's begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Yotzo Shmo Be'ir Mikudeshes. If there is a rumor, basically, going out about a woman that she is, in fact, Mikudeshes, so then, Hare Zur Mikudeshes. We have to be Choshesh for this, that she is, in fact, Mikudeshes. As Rashi tells us, this is a Penuya, a previously single woman. She also allowed Kol that a rumor came about telling her that she was, in fact, Plonis Miskadeshes, that she, in fact, became a married woman, the first stage of marriage that day, to so and so, Luploni. And as the Gemara will explain, there are additional circumstantial type of evidence to suggest that this is true. So therefore, we have to be choshish for it, and therefore she wouldn't be allowed to accept kedushin from another man. She'd only be allowed to accept kedushin from this husband that she's rumored to be as her husband, so if there was any doubt as to that kedushin, he could go be mekadeshah. But nobody else could be mekadesh such a woman. She is considered mekudeshes in regards to everybody else. Likewise, if a rumor came out that a woman was megureshes, let's say she was the wife of a kohen, and there's a rumor now going that her husband, the kohen, had gone and been megarish her, so then harezu megureshes, we have to be choshesh for that, and she's not allowed to live with her husband anymore, who's a kohen. Albeit, she's not allowed to use that to go and get married to somebody else. As Rashi points out, in all of these situations, we go to chomer, but we can't go to kula to say that the rumor is enough to go and allow her to go marry somebody else. But it is enough to go and say that she can't stay married to her husband, the kohen, because of this rumor that she was megureshes. However, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, "Ubavach lo yehei shom amasla," and amasla is an explanation or an excuse for this. And if there's an explanation for the rumor that she was megureshes or that she was mekudeshes, so then the rumor doesn't have any staying power and it goes away. Now, Mishnah tells us what is an example. Ezuhi masla. What's an example over here of an explanation or a reason to say that we don't have to believe the rumor? So, for example, if the explanation is Girish Ish Ploni, that her husband did in fact divorce her, but Girish Ish Ploni Asishto Al Tnai, it was via a Tnai. In other words, let's say he's telling her, you're divorced if you give me money. So in that situation, only if she gives the money is she divorced. If she doesn't give the money, then she's not divorced. Or in a situation where Zora Lo Kidushah, Sofi Koru Lo, Sofi Koru Lo, the man threw the Kesef Kiddushin or the Shtar at her, and it possibly reached within her Dalet Amos, and therefore she is married, or it possibly did not reach her Dalet Amos, and then she's not married. In these situations, so this is the Amasla, this is the explanation, so Zuhi Amasla. This is, in fact, the explanation to say that we don't have to be Choshesh for this rumor that she's either Mekudeshes or that she's Mekureshes. Gemara starts off and says, Biasrina lo agavra, do we really allow this woman who was previously a married woman to leave her husband and to go and marry somebody else based upon this rumor to say that she's Mekureshes? Bama Ravashi, Ravashi said, Kol the boss of Nisuin, lo chashinale. Once a woman is married, so any rumors that come about, we ignore. So how would we say over here that this woman is now no longer allowed to be with her husband based upon this rumor? So the Gemara says, Hachikomar, this is what it's talking about. The Mishnah is telling us, Yotzo Shmo Bo'ir Mekudeshes, if the rumor in town says that she is in fact now a woman who is married, so then Harezu Mekudeshes. So we have to be Choshesh for this, that she can't accept Kedusha from somebody else. And likewise, if the rumor came about that she was Mekudeshes, and then the same rumor said that she was Mekureshes, so here you have basically a Pesha Os, a Pesha Hita situation, as we turn to Peites Omud Aleph. In that situation, Harezu Mekudeshes. Why? Because my timer called the Shavrimo. The voice that said that she's a married woman is the same voice that says, but she is now divorced. Because without that, we didn't know that she was married. So therefore, there is no reason to think that the divorce is not a real divorce because she was a penuria beforehand anyway. So therefore, here you have a pasha osa, pasha hita type of a situation. So the rumor that says that she's married is the same rumor that now says that she's divorced. So therefore, in this situation, we listen to it. But otherwise, if a woman is married, under normal circumstances, any rumors that come about have no halachic standing. This will conclude today's shir. I just want to say that we learned today's shir for a refuah shleima for Yocheved Bas Rachel, who is undergoing surgery tomorrow morning. I'm dictating this on the Leil Yud Zayin Ba'av, in the Mitzvah of Shem. She is undergoing surgery tomorrow morning. Should be for refuah shleima, as well as her mother is unfortunately sick. And Rachel Bas Bliba should also have a refuah shleima, b'soch shar chol Yisrael. Everyone should have a wonderful day.